like nothing you have ever heard before. It's a tough room. It's the place to be. Thrive to survive. It's Taz. It's the Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
One, two,
you know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth. Only me talking the truth. Ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Ayy.
Yes, yes, yes. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Taz Moose with you here on this Monday morning CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206 app as well. All of our great affiliates all across the country spent a lot of time talking a little bit about the NFL, the week three Sunday that was, kind of Monday night game tonight. Down in Maryland, close to our nation's capitals, the Redskins get set to entertain the Chicago Bears, and that defense. We'll touch upon that a little bit later on in the program in this hour, but we kick off this hour with the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Daniel Jones energizes Giants to comeback win versus the Buccaneers.
Yeah, with all the young quarterbacks on display yesterday, Taz, across the National Football League, Jones acquitted himself quite well, throwing for well over 300 yards, four touchdowns in the game, two on the ground, including a big fourth and five scramble from the 7-yard line, down by six late in the game. As the Giants beat the Buccaneers 32-31, being the final missed field goal late by Gay, a short field goal, chip shot field goal by the Buccaneers kicker. Amazingly enough, the Buccaneers this year, it was brought up yesterday, couldn't believe when I heard it, 8th different kicker in 8 straight years, which is difficult to do in the National Football League when you see all these other guys hanging on for year in and year out. It's been a massive issue down there in Tampa Bay. Was against yesterday, missing a couple extra points, but Jones was an absolute stud, taking over for Eli Manning. The confidence, you talked about the energy early on in the show. You fed off that, making the throws, hitting guys in stride. There's a lot to like about Daniel Jones showing off that athleticism yesterday.
Yeah, very smart. His instincts, his poise. For a young guy, the poise and instincts alone, his toughness. He took a lot of hits in the game, but yet was fine and unflappable, as I said earlier. That's the adjective I would like to use again. He protected the ball, you know, no interceptions, you know what I mean? Two touchdowns and just threw over 330 yards. I mean, so you know what? I mean, he showed, you mentioned this earlier, he showed his athleticism, his feet, his legs, his feet, what he can do. And, he rushed for a little bit less than 30 yards, which is pretty good for a rookie quarterback against a good defense on the road. And he got this victory, 32-31, I mean, nail-biter Jones, more or less, and got the victory on the road. Steady diet of passes to Shepard and Evan Engram, which was great. Yeah, man, Giant fans are having a parade right now. They got themselves a new QB, and he looks like a keeper.
Oh, they should be excited. There's no doubt about it, Taz. And, however way they got there, Taz, they got there, right? So you could quibble in terms of the game plan and what Dave Gettleman did in the offseason, whether or not they should have or should not have brought back Eli Manning and drafting Daniel Jones 6th overall. The fact is they got there, and that's the most important thing overall, is that if the final year of Eli Manning's contract, they go to him in game 3, that is Jones. They thought he was ready to play. He showed yesterday that he was ready to play. He read the defenses brilliantly. He took a beating brilliantly. The Buccaneers had a cavalcade of sacks in the game, and he made all the throws. So it's no longer about the debate of what the Giants franchise did in the offseason. Now it's a case of what the Giants are going to do here moving forward. And you mentioned about him in terms of the hope. I mean, last year you were filled with hope with Allen, quarterback. The Jet fan is filled in hope with hope with Sam Darnold once he gets over mono. Arizona with Kyler Murray. Go around the National Football League as you've seen this influx of young signal callers across the National Football League. The Giant fan wakes up this Monday morning, even if they field goal by Gay yesterday was good, and the Giants end up being 0-3, you end up, you wake up this Monday morning filled with a lot of hope about what the future does bring, because the Giants aren't winning the Super Bowl this year. It's not about what it is about the direction of this franchise, and knowing that the most important position right now looks safe and secure in the hands of number 8 for Big Blue moving forward. Well, and that is a good feeling.
You're right. I agree with everything you just said, especially that last part. I mean, that is. The Giants fans know, by hook or crook, no matter what, they got themselves a good young quarterback. I felt like this last year with Josh Allen, you know. I felt like that as a Bills fan. I mean, and I'll tell you, this kid here, Daniel Jones, he is just... He plays calm, a lot like the way Eli was in his prime. There's a lot of similarities. And like I said earlier, it was awesome to see Eli Manning on the sideline. And don't end the sentence there, but it was awesome to see him on the sideline helping Daniel Jones several times and being a good leader, not sitting there boo-boo facing and pissed off. I'm sure he's pissed that he's not starting. He got benched and the world knows it. It's the most publicly... benching maybe ever. I'm maybe exaggerating, but you get my drift. But, you know, Eli was trying to help the kid from afar on the sideline every time he came to the sideline for the most part. And I thought that was very cool of Eli Manning.
Yeah, good teammate.
Yep, that's right.
No doubt, and showed it in a very precarious spot. Let's hear from Jones himself after this victory as he is now the new star in New York. Take a listen.
You know, exciting drive there. You know, all you want is a chance to go down and score, and you know, we did a great job up front, and guys got open, so you know, able to move the ball down the field. It wasn't perfect, but you know, you just need a couple of them there and get in scoring position. So exciting finish. It was exciting. You know, I think there were some nerves and just getting out there for the first time, but I was just excited to get going and get out there, and you know, once we got rolling there, it was just football again. So I don't know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that that the Giants loved about Jones coming out of Duke. The familiarity, Taz, because they had a very good relationship with Cutcliffe based on Manning and their relationship with Cutcliffe, the head coach of the Duke Blue Devils. He wanted a big city, and they loved his calm, cool demeanor. And, you know, you could probably look at what he said yesterday, very Eli-like, in terms of after the game. And he wanted the challenge, so they loved everything about him, his demeanor, leadership possibilities, his skill set, his athleticism. And it was on full display yesterday down in Tampa in a comeback victory.
Yeah, and you know, also hearing those drops from him, you know, you're hearing his true team guy. He never took any credit. He put all the shine on his team, his teammates, and he's a team guy, and he's raised right, you could tell, and he's a humble kid. That's what he comes off as, a humbled kid. And you know, I've mentioned before, my son is friends with this guy's girlfriend, with Daniel. He went my son went to high school with her, and knows him. You know, doesn't know him, but knows her and knows mutual friends with him, and apparently he's. Kids love this kid. I mean, like,
nice.
Kids his age love him. You know what
there
I mean? Like,
go.
He's a nice kid.
That's
just
cool.
A nice person, you know? Besides an ultra-talented guy. I mean, so, you know what? I mean, if you're a Giants fan, you got to be happy right now because you got a kid who, he's got a couple of intangibles you can't coach, Moose. And that's that poise I was talking about. You can't coach that. And you can't coach instincts. And he's got that. And you can't coach toughness. He's got that, too. He's tough. He don't look like a tough kid. He's a tough kid. He took some shots and got up, no problem. So, Giants are in good hands.
Yeah, after the first start, certainly it looks and appears to be that way. All right, number two.
Number two.
The Rams Sunday night football winners in Cleveland versus the Browns.
They were 20-13 being the final. You know, from a Cleveland perspective, you look at Freddie Kitchens, the 4th-and-9 draw play. You look at Mayfield failing down at the Rams 4-yard line, down by a touchdown late. Final pass ended up being picked off by a Rams defensive back, Taz. The Browns, who I thought offensively were only going to, you know, we're going to kind of take the NFL by storm with the weapons that they have. And I know they don't have Njoku at the tight end spot, but they've got bigger issues than that. They've got a lot of growing up to do. They're a sloppy football team. Kitchens, I don't think, has done a great job coaching this team. Talk tough during the offseason. You know, but this team has not kind of heeded his words with the way that they played here. They've been a massive disappointment here at 1-2 to start the season.
They have. Mayfield's been a disappointment. He's 18-36, 195 yards, one TD, one interception. You're not in the Big 12 anymore, son. You know, so, you know, you could come off like you're Mr. Big Shot and stuff like that. You got all these weapons. You got the coach that you basically, you know, you love the guy. You wanted Kitchens as the head coach. You didn't want Greg Williams, you know, and all that kind of jazz. I'm not hating on Mayfield, but I'm just saying, like, if you're going to sing it, you better bring it. And he doesn't. He doesn't. I mean, you have four opportunities at home on Sunday night, only game in town, to win this game, 20-13, to win this game. You got four shots on a five-yard line, and you're throwing balls 8-9 feet over guys' heads. You're throwing balls that are horrible on a busted screen, and then throw a pick at the end. I mean, I'm sorry. I understand that offensive line sucks. They do. The Browns' offensive line sucks. And there's a lot of holes there, and he's got a lot of pressure on him. You got to make it work, and play calling's got to work. You got to—I mean, I would call a quicker screen. I'd run a draw more during the game to keep the defense honest, so they're not just coming at you, pinning their ears back. So the play calling with Kitchens and this and that, and those four opportunities on the 5-yard line at home for Baker Mayfield with all those weapons, shame on them. I know how great the Rams are. But come on, you got to be better than that.
Well, yeah, and they were not good last night. Let's hear from Kitchens himself on the play calling at the end. Take a listen.
Freddie, when you get down to the 5, can you just explain the process of why you didn't run at least once?
I should have run it once. Should have run it 3 times.
So why didn't you?
I just didn't.
If you're saying that after a game, did you realize you should have called run plays there?
I was being facetious. I should have run it 1 time. I should have. That's what I'm kicking myself in the ass for right now.
Well, there you have it. How about Mayfield on the play calling? Take a listen.
I mean, I know what you guys are going to try and do is talk about the play calling, but you know what? That's why I said execution's the most important thing. You know, whatever we have called, we got to do our job.
He's right. He's right. It's a combination. That's how you win. Everybody knows that. Baker knows that. Everybody knows that. Casual football fan knows that. It's about the plays that are called by the coaching staff that are schemed up for our practice, and it's about the players executing those plays. And in this case, they flopped in both, okay? And that's why they lost the game. And they lost the game early in the game because they just weren't, because Baker Mayfield wasn't efficient enough.
No, he was not. And taking the shot off a little bit off what the Rams were able to accomplish, give Los Angeles a lot of credit.
Yes.
There have been no hiccups whatsoever in terms of them losing in the Super Bowl. They're 3-0. McVay, they gave Goff the shiny new contract before the start of the year, Taz. And defensively, they're damn good with Donald. They've got playmakers at every single level of that defense. And offensively, I mean, there just seems to be a different Jared Goff when Cooper Kupp is on the field for that Rams offense. And here is Sean McVay after the game talking about that relationship between the quarterback and receiver. Take a listen.
They've got a great rapport. You know, for Cooper to have 11 catches on 12 targets says as much as you need to know. I came up with two crunch time touchdowns that obviously we had to have to get the win tonight.
Yeah, it's a night and day difference, Taz. We saw last year when Kupp goes out or he's not playing, Goff looks completely different as a quarterback. That should help in the negotiations for Cooper Kupp moving forward. There's no doubt about it.
You think?
Yes,
no, you're right.
So.
They definitely have a good connection there. And Kupp's a hell of a receiver. He's great. And you know, they're tremendous. We know that. I mean, this game. It wasn't lopsided. I'm getting on the Browns because of all the offensive weapons. But again, like you just said, I'm saying here, we got to tip our caps to the Rams. I mean, total net yards in this game, I'm just looking at it here. Okay, for the Browns, it was 270 total net yards. For the Rams, 345. It's a big difference. Okay, that's an efficient offense right there. And time of possession of the game, they were kind of even, both teams. They were close in possession time. You know, and first downs, they were close. They're 20 for the Rams, 18 for the Browns. So, you know, it wasn't like a blowout by any stretch, but you're home. You got to finish that game. I'm sorry. You got to.
And you had so many opportunities to kind of tie that game up late. And unfortunately, play calling or poor play led to their demise. All right, next.
Number 3.
Antonio Brown says he will not play in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, cut by the New England Patriots after that SI piece last week, Taz. Belichick had enough. He had a very strange interaction with Dana Jacobson where he stared her down, uncomfortably so. after she asked a question about Antonio Brown. He went on a Twitter tirade yesterday calling out Shannon Sharp and Ben Roethlisberger and Robert Kraft and what they've done or been accused of doing away from the football field or outside of work. Listen, for Brown here, he's his own worst enemy. Those tweets then were deleted. You know, after he thanked the New England Patriots, he went on this Twitter tirade. I mean, I don't see him signing with an NFL team anytime soon. And, you know, he's saying goodbye to the NFL, but I think for all intents and purposes, the NFL, at least for 2019, had basically said goodbye to Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I think we all need a break. Fans, members of the media, I think all of his former teammates, everyone needs a break. Let me up from the Antonio Brown movie. Enough. I'm done. You know, so we'll see. We had a long conversation earlier about potential. What if he went to the XFL? What if that would have happened? Not to get too deep in the woods now, but if you want to hear that, you can download the podcast of this show every day for free at radio.com, on the radio.com app or the radio.com website or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast. You can get a Taz and the Moose for free every day. Yeah, Antonio Brown did go out Shannon Sharp and Roethlisberger just said, he went at Shannon Sharp heavy because Shannon Sharp tweeted about him, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and talking about how close to 2 million people watched the 2 million people watched the video of Antonio Brown when he found out, I'm free, and he ran out in his yard. He was running around like a bird flying around and basically saying that you got to be humble, fame is man-given, be thankful, conceit is self-given, be careful. That's what Shannon Sharp tweeted about Antonio Brown, and I think that's what really pissed off Antonio Brown about Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
But he's not wrong. You know, he's not wrong.
What Sharp had to say is not wrong. I would not think that Antonio Brown's all of a sudden going to stop tweeting or poking or doing everything he can to try and grab as much attention as he possibly can. And you know, the Patriots opened themselves up to this, Taz, by bringing him in. They made that mistake because they calculated on talent, and then you look at the individual. They factored that into a lesser degree because they looked at what he could do to that offense and Brady and trying to win another Super Bowl. And now obviously Belichick didn't like the question yesterday, but he has to have the understanding at that stage he's going to get that question, just as he did last week while Antonio Brown was still a part of that team as he was at practice on Friday. So now it comes to an end. Now, do we stop paying attention to Antonio Brown? Hopefully, but I'm not necessarily so sure. We'll see. 855-212-4CBS. That is your number to call. It's Taz the Moose. There you have it. Your three big headlines on this Monday morning. Antonio Brown, the Browns' sloppy play Sunday night as the Rams victorious in the Week 3 Sunday night game. And then you've got the star that is Daniel Jones for the Giants. It's Taz the Moose here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, on a Monday morning, if industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil is working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. How about the unexpected play of Giants quarterback Daniel Jones? The rookie quarterback was sensational in his debut as he threw for 336 yards, 2 touchdowns, ran for 2 more. As he helped the Giants defeat the Buccaneers and come all the way back from 18 points down in the victory.
We were talking earlier about Jim Harbaugh and stuff like that. Some people calling the show, so yes. Let's get to some of these great people. Rob, listening down in Cocoa Beach, Florida on radio.com. Rob, you're on Taz and Moose. What's up?
Moose, Taz, good morning. How are we doing on this lovely, beautiful Monday morning?
First day of fall. What's going on, Robbie? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother?
Taz, big fan of the year since the WWE days.
Thank you.
ECW, and I can't say TNA because I didn't really watch that. Most been a fan of the year since you were on WFAN, getting ripped by Mikey, the Mad Dog.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Oh, I do a pretty good impression of
I like that. That was a good Chris Russo impersonation.
Nice
that was
job
pretty good.
There, Rob.
If you really want, I could go on, but, you know, let's see.
That's okay, Rob.
No, never mind. Right. There's two. Good afternoon, everybody.
That was actually pretty good right
there. That's great, Robbie.
That was good.
That's awesome.
That was funny.
If you really want, I'll start again. But anyway, there's two types of Michigan fans, okay? I'm going to go on a limb here. There's the Maze fans and there's the Blue fans. The Maze fans are your millennials that expected Jim Harbaugh to come walking right in after the horrible Rich Rodriguez era and the Brady Hoke era, which was mediocre at best. We are still in the doldrums from Rich Rodriguez. I can't stand it. I'm a diehard fan. My first Michigan football game I ever attended was Bo Schembechler's last game at the Rose Bowl. This football that we are watching right now, it is complete trash.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it. Harbaugh's not going anywhere unless Ward Manuel gets fired. Harbaugh's record is 40-15. Four of those losses, obviously, are to Ohio State.
Right, he's 0-4 against the Buckeyes. He's actually one and nine versus top 10 opponents, Rob. I mean, he's not, you know, and when they're an underdog going in, he's like 0-8, 0-7. So he's I understand his record as a whole is positive. But, you know, if you're rolling teams outside of the Big Ten or Northwestern in the Big Ten, yeah, okay, fine. But that key one is that you alluded to, and I mentioned that 0-4 against Ohio State. That's big.
I mean, the whole thing is like everyone's like, oh, Harbaugh's going to come and change the culture. Yeah, they're winning. But they're not winning the games that they should. They play in the big house. You're playing the biggest stadium in the entire country. You were under the biggest microscope. You're under the biggest microscope. Sorry, I'm really fired up.
Well, decaf is the key, Rob. Yeah. Decaf is what you need to look
into. The expectations that, I mean, just ask John Cooper, right? John Cooper won a lot of games at Ohio State, could never beat Michigan, and John Cooper was left looking for a job and was fired by the Buckeyes. You've got to beat,
Rob.
As you mentioned, Robbie, you've got to beat the teams on your schedule that you're brought there to beat, and you're not brought there to necessarily, it's not necessarily Wisconsin. You know, it is the now that the rivalry's been renewed, it's Notre Dame, it's Ohio State, it's those games. But, you know, you were brought in, Harbaugh, the expectations was to make Michigan a national power once again. And they've been a top 20 team, Taz, but they've also disappointed. You brought up Harbaugh's record against top 10 teams, 1-9. I mean, that is...
That's a problem.
That is an issue. If you're Jim Harbaugh, you're supposed to be this head coach savant, and find a way to get the Wolverines back to their glory days and win national championships. They're not close there. I mean, they're really not. Kelly and Notre Dame are closer than Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, I would take Kelly over Harbaugh and Harpeet. I'm glad you mentioned him, but yeah, I would. I mean, and for Harbaugh, while he's been the Wolverines head coach, I mean, when they're on the road and they're playing a ranked opponent, they're 1-6 against a ranked opponent. I mean, you can't. You know, I mean, yeah, we all look at that they haven't, you know, he hasn't beaten the Buckeyes. I get it. And that's a gigantic thing because of that rivalry. But, you know, there's enough in his resume so far as the Wolverines head coach to say, you know, what are we doing here? They got to figure that out. I don't want to see no one lose their job. Don't get me wrong. But I got to tell you, that's a pride-filled fan base and a strong alumni for that University of Michigan deal there, football-wise. So I'd be shocked if he's still there after the season.
Well, we got to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
we went over those three teams in the Buck and in Penn State, the Irish, and the Hawkeyes. That's going to be tough for them.
I get it, but you know, who knows? Maybe they make a dramatic improvement.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, they win some of those games, Taz. We might be talking about a different story. You know, they beat Ohio State final game of the year, and you know, knocked the Buckeyes from the ranks on the undefeated. We might be talking about a different story. So. I think right now I agree with you. I think the pendulum's swinging that way, and the Wolverines have not looked like a quality, you know, top 10, top 11 team in the nation through the first 3 weeks of the season, and they've got a lot of work to do. They've got a lot to work to do. The one thing Harbaugh sounded like, he sounded like a beaten-down coach after that game up in Wisconsin on Saturday. That's what he did sound like. We were out-coached, out-played, looked drawn out, did not look great. So we'll see how they bounce back. Soft landing spot this week as the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers come to town and play at the Big House. That's a noon kickoff out there in Ann Arbor. Heller's in the house. What's up, Brad?
What's up, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Brad.
Big one, Michigan-Rutgers.
Yes, big one. Huge on Saturday. Huge.
Huge.
Huge for who?
I'm joking.
Oh, I thought it was
huge for Moose. It's huge for Moose.
I was being sarcastic.
I couldn't tell. I didn't know.
Yes.
But that's okay. You'll be there, right, Moose?
I will not be in Michigan. No. I'll be doing the pre and post game.
I thought they were home. I'm sorry. I thought
no, Rutgers
was home.
No. It's in Ann Arbor.
I got you. You won't be there.
Okay. No, I will not.
If they were home, you would have been there.
I would have been there. Correct.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. If it was in Piscataway, New Jersey, but I do not travel with the team, no.
All right.
Yes, but it's a big game for Archie.
Are you okay with that? Are you okay
with
that?
Yes, I'm fine with not traveling to Michigan.
Okay. You should try to get to travel with the team. I think that'd be good.
I don't really have an interest.
No?
Okay. No, it's nothing to do with Rutgers or anything like that. I just, no.
You'd really get a feel for the team and and their reaction, their instant reaction after games like that, you know?
That is true. You're right, Brad. Yeah, well, you were covering the Mets this year. 42 games this year.
I'll tell you what, you know, when you're on the road, you get a different feel.
You're their lucky charm in the second half, like a rabbit's foot.
Look, I'm not going to say that out loud, but let's just look at the results.
Well, how many games did you do when they've struggled after that winning streak, when they've struggled here? Did Eddie C. take over and then...
Who's Eddie C.? I don't know who that is.
Actually, to be honest, if we're going to really look and crunch the numbers...
Yes, let's crunch it.
The Mets were 500 on games that I worked, so clearly... I was not the magic touch.
They were 21-21?
Yeah.
So, but you were there when they had that winning streak?
No.
Oh, you were not.
Then stay away from the team, okay?
So you were they were 21-21 in the 42 games.
That road trip out of the All-Star break, they started to get hot. No, it was after that road trip out of the break when they really started to heat up, when they started beating up on all those last place teams.
Yeah, I love that.
I was not a part of that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brad. I was wrong. I gave some misinformation.
All right.
We didn't have to get into all the details. You could have let me take some credit for it.
I was thinking, you had a good luck charm. Not so much.
Taz was like me for a second. Now it's back to normal.
For a second. Just the manager.
You saw my team name in fantasy, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Taz's best friend, something like that, right?
That's not true.
It's not true.
Yeah, no. Like my Mets success.
I do like you, but I don't even have a best friend. Well, my wife's my best friend, and you look nothing like my wife, Brad, but I do like you.
Well, you didn't call me out on it at first, so I thought maybe it would stick, but I guess I should. I'll go change my name.
I'd have to call you first to call you out, right? That was a layup. That was too easy.
What's going on, Brad?
All right, guys. This report sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. The Sunday night football game in Cleveland coming down to a 4th and goal at the 5.
Mayfield gets the shotgun snap. Rams rush 4. Pressure coming. Mayfield backpedaling from the 20. Throws to the end zone. And that one is intercepted. It is picked off on a dive by John Johnson in the end zone. And the Rams are going to hang on in Cleveland.
Final score 20-13. Kevin Kugler had the call and Westwood won. The Rams are 3-0. Elsewhere, no Cam Newton, no problem at all for the Panthers.
Third down goal from the 3-yard line. Allen on the back pedal, pats the ball, lofts a pass. Olsen makes the catch. Left side, touchdown, Carolina.
What a great touch.
Mick Mixon, Jordan Gross on Panthers radio. One of 4 touchdown passes for Kyle Allen. Panthers over the Cardinals 38-20. Daniel Jones with 4 touchdowns in his first NFL start, 2 passing, 2 rushing. The Giants rallied from 18 down at halftime, beat the Buccaneers in Tampa 32-31.
There were some nerves and just getting out there for the first time, but I was just excited to get going and get out there. And once we got rolling there, it was just football again. So it was a lot of fun.
Jones on WFAN in New York, his 7-yard run on 4th down, that was the go-ahead touchdown, the go-ahead score with just over a minute to go. Matt Gay missed a field goal as time expired for Tampa. Saquon Barkley could miss several weeks for the Giants, reportedly suffering a high ankle sprain. Teddy Bridgewater, 2 touchdown passes, taking over for Drew Brees while Brees is hurt. Saints over the Seahawks in Seattle. The Niners are 3-0 for the first time in 21 years. They rallied to top the Steelers. The Bills with a late touchdown to beat the Bengals 21-17. They're also 3-0. Patriots, Cowboys, Chiefs, and Packers are 3-0 as well. Pats will visit the Bills next Sunday. The Lions are 2-0-1. They edge the Eagles 27-24. Bears and Redskins wrap up week 3 tonight in Washington. Antonio Brown tweeted, among other things, that he's done with the NFL. The baseball story, the Astros.
Continue. Go ahead.
Okay. Almost done. Yep. The Astros clinched the AL West 3rd straight years. They beat the Angels. They have a half-game lead on the Yankees for best record. The Cardinals clinching a playoff berth as they finished off a sweep of the Cubs. And the wild card race, Rays and Indians are tied for the final spot in the American League, the National League, Milwaukee and Washington in a virtual tie for the 2 spots there. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Brad. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks for chiming in this
morning.
Great
seeing you, buddy.
Yes. Always good seeing you. Adam Schefter tweeted out about 10-12 minutes ago that the Jaguars not interested in trading Jalen Ramsey. He called the team yesterday saying that he was sick. He's not going to be at practice today for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did play in all 75 of their defensive snaps in their last game against the Tennessee Titans. So Jaguars have had conversations with teams about Jalen Ramsey after his trade demand a week ago. Tonight, in which he made that trade demand after their tough loss down in Houston against the Texans. We'll see where this goes, Taz.
Well, look, it's smarter of the Jaguars. The Jaguars not to want to trade him. Of course, he's the best corner in the game, and they're hoping things could cool down, and they probably tried to talk to him and work it out with him. I'm talking, high front office, the Khan family in general, probably above, Coughlin, the ownership I'm talking about. Ramsey's saying he's sick and he can't practice today or this week, apparently. It said something like that, and I could have sworn, I know I saw that tweet too. I'm not looking at it right this second. I could have sworn it said this week. He can't, it says, due to being sick, like you just said, but will not practice today, nor maybe this week at all, per sources. That's what Schefter said. So, he knows he's going to be sick all week. You're in the NFL. I mean, you very rarely hear this. I mean, that a guy is that he's sick, that he has a cold, and he can't practice. I mean, it happens, but it just seems a little bit like wink, wink here. Like, he's being a little, I don't know how sick he is. That's what I'm trying to say in a nice way. So, I mean, to me, it smells a little funky, but I hope this could work out for the Jaguars, and I know you do too. We've spoke about this in the past a few times about Jalen with the Jacksonville team and with the Jaguars. He's a great fit in that defense. His teammates seem to love him, and I hope it works out. I hope he chills out. Whatever the hell happened with him and Marone, whatever was said, whatever he's really, really pissed about, because he is really, really pissed, I hope it gets worked out. It seems like it's gone a few days and it hasn't. Hopefully it does, though.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, he looks like he's trying to force the hand of the Jaguars. We'll see. You know, maybe he's back at practice on Tuesday. Maybe he's not. Maybe he is in the entirety of the week as reports have surfaced there, Taz. Maybe it's just one day today. But if it's the entirety of the week, then he's going to start to force the hands of the Jaguars, who reportedly want to try and keep him. They don't want to trade him, which is smart because they're a better football team with Jalen Ramsey a part of it than with him playing someplace else. That's what you go through the draft process for. But he might try and be using any kind of leverage he can to try and get himself off of Jacksonville and get himself someplace else. We'll find out.
Yeah, could be. I mean, you're worried about the Denver Broncos right now and this great defense you got to play. You don't want to have to deal with this,
Yeah, no doubt. We'll come back. We got the undercard for you. It's Taz and Moose on a Monday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Josh down in FLA. Did yesterday's Daniel Jones performance amp up the pressure on the Redskins to play Dwayne Haskins? Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Can guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. I don't necessarily think so. I don't. I mean, I think the Redskins, when they drafted Haskins, they felt like they had more to work on with him. They did like Jones. They preferred Daniel Jones over Haskins in the draft process. He did not fall to them. He was taken sixth overall, Taz. But I think you'd be, unless you feel Haskins is ready, and then you play him. I don't get a sense, from my understanding, is that the Redskins think Dwayne Haskins is ready to play.
Yeah, especially, look, every team, and every team runs their business the way they want. I don't think they're influenced much by any other team, Josh in Florida, just so you know, like just how I see it anyway. All these teams are big businesses. These are multi-millions and millions and millions of dollars. These teams, they're spending and their overhead and their payroll and all this jazz. So they're worried about winning football games for their team. What's the right matchup? What's the right this? What's the right that? You got the Bears coming into your house tonight if you're the Redskins. And you got arguably one of the better, defenses coming in that's just legit with Khalil Mack, who's just a complete man beast, who's going to, I don't know if I want Dwayne Haskins to, break into his NFL regular season life against Khalil Mack. That's probably not a good idea on a Monday night.
or even not even just tonight. I mean, even next week against the Giants. I mean, the reports now, it could change based on what he does in practice. But you got to remember, you're not getting as many reps in practice during the year as you did during the course of training camp. Was that they were maybe looking at the back half of the regular season for Dwayne Haskins to try and get him some experience year one in the National Football League. It probably, in all likelihood, wasn't going to be in the first half of the year. Now, that could change. I don't think, though, Taz, it has anything to do with what you're seeing from other young quarterbacks in the league. And that is what, you know, our listener Josh in Florida is kind of inferring that, you know, well, look at the Jones success with the Giants. That means, all right, let's push Dwayne Haskins out there, because if Jones can do it, Dwayne Haskins to do it. Well, I think you got to pump the brakes a little bit. And as you mentioned, Taz, I don't think that's the way franchises are run. If they are run that way, then you've got a dysfunctional franchise.
Right, no doubt. And Case Keenum's not the issue there with your Redskins, Moose. That's your team, right? You can speak of this better than me. That's not the main. He's actually having a pretty good year this early going.
He hasn't. You know? Right, he hasn't been bad. But like everything else, you want to get the young signal caller in at some point this year. You know, but no, he has not. No, he is, to play to your point, no. He has not been. The Redskins have got a cavalcade, laundry list test, as they say, of issues. They're not a particularly good football team.
Oh, man, I feel for you.
As they get set to entertain the Chicago Bears tonight in a game in which, you mentioned, you know, Keenum has played well at times. McLaurin, the rookie wide receiver at Ohio State, has been very, very good. They expected good things of Geist, the running back, the former LSU star. Yeah. He got banged up once again, second straight year that he has been banged up. They lost some things on defense. The offensive line is not particularly good. I mean, maybe this is just me being a negative Nelly as a Skins fan and being pessimistic, Taz. I really don't have a good vibe going into tonight. I'm not telling you that the Bears are going to cut Trubisky loose or that there's some great offense. I don't think they are. And look, turnovers could play a massive role. But if this game is pretty even, Taz, I think that Bears defense is going to have their way with the Redskins offense and that offensive line and get after Keenum and create some turnovers and short field opportunities. I'll tell you, I'd be mildly surprised if the Redskins won tonight.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win either, unfortunately, for you, I think, Boos, and you're a realist with this. I also think it's interesting, the matchup within the matchup for me, this might be a stretch, but you'll appreciate it, you'll get it. So I mentioned Khalil Mack, you know, with the Bears, right? He's a great, great player off the edge. You know, just amazing, just wreaks havoc. And the Bears' defense right now is ranked probably in the top four or five for sure. They're up there. So, well, as we know, Khalil Mack was a Raider. That's how he came in out of Buffalo as a Raider. And then John Gruden comes in and, you know, cuts him. Well, more or less didn't re-sign him. Everybody was perplexed. We talked about it. Like, what the hell's going on? You get Khalil Mack. And the Bears pick him up. Well, who's the head coach of the Redskins? John Gruden's brother. I feel like this is like a statement kind of where Khalil Mack, not just because it's Monday night, the big stage, the yada yada, they're on the road, and I feel like it's a statement he can make right at John Gruden's brother, right to his face. To me, it's the matchup in the matchup. I don't know. That's how I think of everything. Like in wrestling lineups, I guess.
Taz, I give you credit. I didn't think of it that way.
Most don't.
I think there's any time if you're Mac, you use anything for kind of motivation. So if that motivates him, he doesn't need a lot to motivate him. No. Nor does he have a lot to go up against. You know, if Khalil Mack is silenced by that Skins offensive line, I'd be stunned. I would be stunned.
No,
today's a day, if you're a defensive lineman, that you want to be happy and healthy, have a nice big breakfast, and get ready to eat later on tonight, because that offensive line for Washington is putrid.
And the Redskins are, what are they, plus 5.5, right? And they're home. I think it's 5.5.
Is it that much?
I think it is. I think so.
The line's gone up that much?
I think it's 5.5. Home dog Jones. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I would take the Bears.
Is it 5.5? 5.5. Look at that.
Wow, it's gone up that much. Yeah.
What was it when you first saw it? Do you remember off the top of your head?
I thought it was 4.
So it went up. It did go up a good
It was 4 when we made our picks on Sunday.
Right.
Originally.
Yes. So I had it at 4. I didn't lay 5.5, so we had it 4. So now it's you're laying 5.5. I didn't realize the line moved a point and a half. So there you go. Not in Washington's favor, in Chicago's favor.
I'm here for your betting needs.
So smart money there, as all the money was pouring in on Chicago and that line went up. Yes, thank you, Mr. Taz.
Yes, I'm on top.
Here we go, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Mike, what do we got, buddy?
All right, the Jets took a tough one yesterday against the Patriots. Le'Veon Bell took to Twitter and said, All you haters, enjoy it for now. Just don't go Casper when all this gets turned around. We embrace adversity. We embrace the hate. And everyone that wants to see my team fail or me fail individually, I'll remember. We'll remember it all.
I love
and
the passion.
Use it. And yeah. Wear it as a badge of honor. There's a lot more, but I'll stop.
Good.
Does Le'Veon Bell regret signing with the Jets?
No. I don't think he does. Honestly, that's a great question. I mean, he knows the game. He's a pro. He knows what happens. I mean, can't help it that your quarterback got hurt. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, his mono. He got sick. Sam Darnold. You can't help that. And that this you know, he. I am impressed. I saw the tweet by Bell. I did. Mike, you did a great job reading it. The passion was awesome. But I will tell you, I don't think he regrets it because he did mention his team. He spoke on about his teammates. And his team, the New York Jets, they retweeted that tweet you just read. So that shows they support him and what he's saying. And you know, people are kicking him when they're down right now. And he's defending the team. He's defending himself. And I respect that. And I respect that the Jets retweeted it.
I think Le'Veon Bell, I don't think he regrets signing with the Jets because he got paid. And I think he's been great. I always felt when he was in Pittsburgh, as long as you paid him, you know, I think a lot of the nonsense was going to go away. And it really has. He's been really great as a Jet and a great representation. He has not been worse for the wear. The offensive line's not nearly as good, Taz. He's not been nearly as productive, but he's taken an absolute beating. And I think he's become kind of the voice and the face of that team with Darnold being out. And I think he's done a really nice job in a very tough spot with this team sitting here at 0-3 to start the year.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's tough goings. I mean, they got thrown a bad curveball with the mono that their quarterback had that many high school sophomores and juniors get.
Yes,
but it's
correct.
Okay. You know, hopefully he's going to be okay. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Hopefully he's all right. Yeah. Hopefully he's okay and his spleen's all right. But Bell's been pretty good. All right, next.
Oh!
The Dallas Cowboys are 3-0 on the season. Their wins, though, have come against the Giants in Week 1, the Skins Week 2, and the Dolphins yesterday. What do you make of a Cowboys team that's perfect but has played some pretty bad opponents?
Yeah, good team. Moore's done a nice job as their offensive coordinator. They played around yesterday, Taz, a little bit with Miami before they kind of woke up in the second half and dominated the point of attack. They've got some things to work on. I think Dak was a little loose with the football yesterday. You'll see more Elliott as the season does go along. And as I used to say with John Riggins, you know, as that diesel starts to get warm, maybe in the second half of the year, they'll start to ride 21 a little bit more. Mm. But I think so far, so good. I think the Cowboys have looked real good.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this. You know, I love the Cowboys. I mean, I love them this year. I think they're real good. I mean, I think they're going to stay good. I do. I get what you're saying, Mike. I get your questioning because of, you know, as you know, it's the NFL, right? You got to play who's in front of you. That's just the way it goes. You know, but we'll see what happens. You know, they're going on the road they're going down to New Orleans to play the Saints. Well, for them, they're going across to New Orleans, not down. So, yeah, they got to play the Saints on the Sunday night game, I believe, next week. So that'll be a good test. You know, even though Breeze is not there and Bridgewater looked okay. We'll see what they do against a pretty good defense in the Saints defense for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, Saints played really well yesterday up there in Seattle. Yeah, I mean, they get a defensive touchdown, the pick and scoop and score by Von Bell, the special teams touchdown, Bridgewater offensively. Kamara was very, very good. And got to harken back. Remember last year, it was that game against New Orleans that Dallas Cowboy defense kind of stamped themselves. New Orleans going AT&T Stadium.
That's right.
They were flying high offensively. And that Cowboy defense made Drew Brees very, very uncomfortable in the pocket. The secondary was great in coverage. They got after him. That Cowboy was probably one of the best individual game defensive performances by a team. I'd say top two of all of the 2018 season. Yeah. That was a year ago. That was home. This is going to be away.
Yeah, yeah. And real quick on Bridgewater with the Saints. You know, as you know, they won the game 33-27 out in Seattle. I told you, man. I had a feeling he was going to play well. He was 19-27, only 177 yards, but he protected the football. No interception and two TDs. So hopefully, Teddy can keep rolling.
Yeah, he did. Mike, Pete, thank you. Peller with the updates. You guys on the phones as well. Appreciate it. Taz, good stuff, buddy.
Yes, you too, sir. Thank you.
All right. Have yourself a wonderful Monday, everybody. Till tomorrow. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.